This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
It's story time!
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire. I go by Clizair on the internet. And this week I have with me Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. This is the podcast where guests tell me their stories. And this week, Paul has a story for me. First of all, Paul, would you like to tell everyone, introduce yourself and tell them where to find you on the internet?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a coach, motivational coach, life coach, whatever you want to call me. And I help people rewrite their stories and take control of their lives. Take back the pen and write the story they want for their lives, not for anybody else, but for them alone, heart and soul, what they want to do in their lives. And that's my life's mission. And that's what I've been doing for the last few years, is help people rewrite their stories.
And where can they find you on the internet?
Oh, well, thank you. Yes. So there's two ways to find me. One is on my website, acalltoaction.coach. And secondly, I have a Facebook group called Rewrite Your Story, where people from all over the world tell their stories, and we're there to support with no judgment. And we lift each other up, and we actually have a monthly meetings where we just get together and just talk what's going on, and we just support each other and never have any judgment.
Sounds good. And so you have a really interesting story for us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I do. I was born with something called cerebral palsy. And if your viewers don't know what that is, it happens at birth. It's lack of oxygen to the brain at labor. And as a result of this lack of oxygen to the brain at labor, it can leave one side of the body paralyzed, can affect your speech. It's permanent. This does not go away. It's forever. So when I was born, I wasn't moving the right side of my body very much. And obviously my mom was very concerned about that. So she took me to the doctors to get some testing done to see what was going on. After the testing came back, sure enough, I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And the doctors at the time thought it was so severe that I would never, ever be able to walk. And when I got to a certain age, it would be a good idea to get me ready to be in a wheelchair, because that was going to be my life going forward. Well, thank goodness for a great mom, she didn't go with that diagnosis. She got a second, third, fourth, fifth, found a physician that was willing to help. And that's when my intense journey of physical therapy began. I was doing this 5 to 6 days a week physical therapy. And with this physician's help, I was able to walk at age 3. I don't really remember it, but it was a great feat in my life, because these other doctors thought I would never, ever be able to walk. And here I was walking.
But I'll jump in really quickly, just because I don't want it to distract from your story. Is really interesting. Your mic is popping quite a bit when you're, so maybe if you just pull it down a little bit or something.
Oh, sure. Okay, no problem.
Yeah, perfect. Sorry, continue. You started walking at 3?
Yeah, I started walking at 3. Don't really remember that, but I remember being put into soccer when I was 5 or 6 years old. And at the time, I could probably run about 25 to 50 yards, where these other kids can run laps around the soccer field. And I'm basically just standing there. And I remember going to my mom going, "Mom, this is ridiculous. All I can do is just stand there. These other kids are playing soccer and I'm just standing there." And I remember my mom telling me that, "If you don't want to play soccer anymore, that's okay, but we got to honor our commitments. So you need to finish out the soccer season. And if you don't want to play soccer after that, that's your prerogative." And that's exactly what happened. I finished out the soccer season. I'm 40 years old right now, and I never, ever played soccer since in my life. So that went forward. But after that, I got a big, big break. I didn't know how huge it was going to be, but I got surgery on my right foot around 6 or 7 years old to tighten up the tendon, to give me a little bit more spring in my step, and basically take away the pain I was feeling when I was running. I switched schools around the same time, and I'll never forget this. I remember my first day of PE, physical education. I remember doing our stretches and the teacher saying, "Okay, now run a lap." And I'm thinking to myself, "Here we go again. I'm going to run 25 to 50 yards and I'm going to have to stop. And these other kids are going to see that and they're going to start to tease me." But because of my surgery, it was different. I was able to go past that point where I normally have to stop. And I was keeping up with the other kids. And I remember saying to myself, "Come on, Paul, you got this, buddy. Keep going, buddy, keep going." And I finished the lap with the other kids. On the outside, I kept it nice and cool. But on the inside, I was like, "Yes, yes, yes." The first time in my life where I just fit in, where I didn't stand out. And I just felt so amazing. I mean, it was a great feat in my life. And I'll never, ever forget that feeling. Things got easier for me because of the surgery, but I wouldn't consider them easy. I switched schools again when I was in middle school, junior high. So I was right around 12 or 13 years old. And that age is hard, period. And these other kids have been going to school with each other for years and years and years. They've already formed their cliques, their groups, and they really don't have time for new kids. So just breaking in as a new kid with no disability, it's really tough at that age. But I was a new kid and I walk with a limp and I hold my right arm a little bit differently. So it was even tougher for me. And I remember getting into this new school, being bullied and teased pretty much every single day. It was rough, really, really rough on me. And on top of this, my mom raised me Catholic, so she wanted me to go to a Catholic high school. So I had to take an assessment to see where I was at academically. Well, I must have bombed the test, because when I met with the principal and I met with my mom, the principal tells us that we're going to put Paul at the lowest level possible. And I don't expect much from him. He does not seem like he's college material. After one test, this principal says that to me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible. I felt so defeated. So now I have to go back to school, already being bullied and teased. And now I think that I'm stupid, that I'm not very smart, you know, because this principal's already said this about me. So I'm crying myself to sleep most nights saying, why me? Why do I have to be different? Why can't I just be like one of the other kids? And all this anger and sadness would come over me all the time. But I don't know what came over me. About midway through eighth grade, right before high school, I was sick and tired of feeling angry and sad all the time, because I knew deep down those were not my go-to emotions. But because of the environment I was in, that was the emotions that were coming up most. So I thought to myself, what could I do to distract me from these feelings? What if I set a goal for myself and I focused in on the goal and I kind of ignored the noise that was going on around me? So I said, okay, what kind of goal do I want to set for myself? And at the time, I really, really, really loved baseball. So I thought, well, why don't I try to make my varsity baseball team in high school? So I started playing fall ball, winter ball, spring ball. And if I wasn't doing that, I was throwing a tennis ball against the wall. And I was doing this constantly. And the great thing about this, Claire, that I know this now, I didn't know this at the time, I was sending out a different energy out in the world. I had my shoulders back, my head up. And as a result of this new energy I was putting out to people, kids were starting to put a different energy back towards me. Instead of bullying and teasing me, they started rooting for me, all because of this energy shift. So my junior high, middle school career was much, much different from high school, all because of the change in what I was doing. And I'm proud to tell you that I was able to make my varsity baseball team as a junior and a senior.
And then congrats.
Thank you very much. And then I graduated high school, and I really, really thought about that goal that I set. I was like, I have cerebral palsy. I wasn't supposed to be able to walk. It should have been near impossible goal that I should be able to make my varsity baseball team, but I did it. So I really started to think about what that principal said to me earlier, years earlier, about me not being college material. Because see, when I was in high school, I just did enough to stay eligible to play baseball, because I thought to myself, what's the point? I'm not going to college. Why waste my time working any harder? Just do enough to get by, and then don't waste your time on doing stuff that's not going to matter much to you. So my grades weren't that great, but I made this goal and I became a varsity baseball player. So I thought, why not set another goal for myself and become college material? So I enrolled into a junior college, because that was pretty much the only place that would accept me at the time. I got myself a math tutor, a regular tutor. I went to the math lab. I did everything necessary to increase my grade point average. And after hard work, I was able to take that barely a 2.0 and move it all the way up to 3.5, where I was eligible to transfer to a four-year university where I was able to graduate college. And I so wanted to go back to that principal and say, see, you were wrong. I was college material. But yeah. In the end, I should thank her for giving me the motivation. I don't know if I would have hit the books as hard as I did if I didn't have that her voice in my head saying that I was not college material.
So, yeah, my college counselor was like, you won't get the points for that. And I was like, oh, I will, because our system works on points. And I did.
Oh, good. Yeah. So good. So well, I'm glad. I mean, I'll prove people wrong. That's great. So I graduated college. I have no life experience whatsoever. I have no idea what the heck I want to do with myself at all. No clue. And at the time, I had a family friend who was in the banking mortgage industry. He said, why don't you become a mortgage loan officer? I'll hire you. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything right now. Let's do it. Hire me. So he hires me. And when I got in, nobody wanted to talk to me. I was being shunned. I was sitting alone at lunch. And it brought me back to when I was back in middle school and junior high, where nobody wanted to talk to me. Nobody wanted to be my friend. And I quickly realized what the issue was. They knew I knew the CEO of the bank, and they knew it was because of the name I knew and not because of my talent. So their plan was they were going to chew me up and spit me out. So I thought, no, I'm going to earn my worth here. So I really dug in. I had a great attitude. I worked extremely hard. I never complained about the workload. And from afar, because they didn't want to talk with me, I was reviewing what the top loan officers did in the company. And so I was learning everything. And I remember my first day of wanting to go out in the field and get loans for the first time. And I remember my my family friend CEO stops me and goes, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to go out and start to get loans. I'm ready to go. And he has a concerned look on his face like, no. You are not ready. Let's get you some more training. Once we get you some more training, we'll get you out in the field and you can get loans. I'm like, no, I got this. Let me go. I'll go. So I went out in the field and I fell on my face. I wasn't ready.
Yeah. I'm going to have to ask you what you mean. I'm kind of, what do you mean you get loans? I don't think I know what a mortgage loan officer is.
Okay. So in the United States, we have people who go out and get loans for people to buy homes.
Is that like a mortgage broker?
Yes, same thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So does it work the same as us that like I would go to a mortgage broker who would then deal with all the banks on my behalf? Is that the same? Is that what you mean by getting loans?
Yeah. And gotcha. I'm the middleman. Okay. And I'm basically the middleman. So the mortgage broker would come to me and I would be the bank and I would handle it. So yes.
Well, you were the bank in this scenario.
Yeah. I was the bank in the scenario selling to the mortgage loan brokers who sold to you.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. It's a slightly different system, but I've got it now. Okay.
Cool. So yeah. So that's what I was doing. And these mortgage brokers were like, this kid doesn't know what he's doing. So, they weren't giving me the time of day and it was really, really tough for a long time, but I finally started to realize what value I could add to these mortgage brokers. And slowly but surely, I started to get loans and more loans and more loans and more loans. And 2 years later into the business, I became a top producer in the company. And the people who didn't want to talk to me are now coming to me, asking me questions on how I was able to turn it around so quickly. And it was awesome. And I really enjoyed the industry for a very, very long time. Then 2008, 2009 hit and the economy just tanked.
So
I would get a job in the industry and the whole company would go belly up and I have to get another job and that company would go belly up, and that happened like 3 or 4 times. So I was really losing the luster of wanting to do this because it was very frustrating. And I remember one of the last places I was at in the mortgage industry, they brought in this motivational speaker to drum up the business, to increase the numbers, get us more loans. And the guy blew me away. The guy was tremendous. So after the presentation, I made a point to talk with him to tell him how great of a job he did. And he was very, very gracious. He allowed me to pick his brain a little bit. And he said he started as a life coach. I'm like, life coach? What in the heck is a life coach? And he explained what that was. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe that's what I want to do. So in between being in the mortgage industry, I was getting my coaching certificate. I was getting everything necessary to start to do that. And I remember telling people, this is what I wanted to do. I want to be a life coach. And people just humor me. Okay, life coach, just go out and get loans, bud. Whatever, do that. And then things started to get real serious because I got my website and everything ready and I was ready to go. And I was just going to do it on the side and still keep my full-time job as a mortgage loan officer. And the legal team, saw that I was doing the side business and they're like, what is this? And I explained to them what I was going to do. And they're like, this could be a conflict of interest. We're going to get back to you. And I'm thinking, this can't be good. And they got back to me a couple of days later and they had a 5-page report of what I couldn't say in doing the coaching. And I looked at this going, there's no way I'm going to make any traction in the coaching world if I follow this to the T. So I had to make some changes. So what I did was I paid down all my debts. This took me about a year to do. Got everything ready for me to make the transition to coaching. And then I quit. And people were flabbergasted, like, Paul, what in the heck are you doing? You just made President's Club here at the bank in top honors, and you're quitting? I go, yeah, I don't want to do it anymore. And they're like, you're crazy. This life coach thing is a pie in the sky nonsense, dude. You're going to be doing this for a few months, and then you're going to be coming back. I'm like, well, I at least got to give it a try. So I do it. And I tell you what, Claire, I thought I was going to have to come back because I was not making any traction in the coaching world. It was extremely tough. Whatever I was doing, I wasn't doing it the right way. And I started to think about the client and how I wanted to serve my clients. And I thought to myself, how do I expect clients to be vulnerable with me if I'm not vulnerable with them? See, the story I told you about having cerebral palsy, I wanted to bury that story. I didn't want to tell anybody that story because all through growing up, all I wanted to do was fit in. I did not want any special treatment. I just wanted to be treated like every other kid. So anytime it was brought up that I had cerebral palsy, or if I was limping or anything like that, if I had to say, admit that I had cerebral palsy, I was almost in tears of crying talking about it. And I would make up different reasons why I would be limping, softball injury, whatever it was. I didn't want to go there. But I thought to myself, the only way I'm going to get traction in this business is if I be vulnerable and I accept my story and I tell people my story. And once I started doing that, slowly but surely things started changing for me. I'll never forget my first client. He comes up to me and he goes, you know what, Paul, I don't have cerebral palsy, but I have this. And I think that you can relate to me. So I really would love your help. And I just started building and building and building from there. And here I am talking with you now.
Wow, that's some story.
Thank you very much.
So just out of curiosity, like, what's your cerebral palsy status now? How are you now?
Well, it doesn't really affect me too much. I still walk with a little bit of a limp. I still hold my right arm a little bit differently. I don't type as well on the right side of right on my right hand, but I really don't let it affect me very much. I ran a marathon. I keep myself very, very physically active. I still do some exercise about 5 or 6 times a week just to keep that up. So I really don't let it limit me at all. I do have some limitations, but I find a way around them.
Wow. And so how long now then have you been coaching for?
Gosh, it's going on, I guess, 5 years now.
And I know it's hard when you're asked like off the top of your head, but like, is there any sort of story that sticks out from your coaching? Anything that you were like, wow.
Not really, but I will say this, that this happened recently with one of my clients. She gets on the call with me, and I could tell by her voice that she is just not in a good space. And she starts telling me what was going on in between the last time I talked with her. And I was taking notes of what she was saying, listening to what she was saying. And, when she was done, I let her get it all out, all of it out. I went back through what she told me, and I was pointing out all the positive things that she was missing in our story. I was like, well, you're doing this really good. What about this? Did you think about this? I just kept going. I went through her whole story, what she told me, and pointed out all the positive things that she was missing, because she was just laser focused, tunnel vision on all the negative things that were going on in her life. She was missing all the positive things that was going well in her life. And she started to realize, you know what? Yeah, you know what? My story isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I'm not saying, Claire, that she was doing backflips by the end of the call, but I can tell you her voice was much, much different than it was when I started the phone call with her. And for me, that's a win. Those are the wins for me. I mean, yeah, I mean, I've worked with people, you know, for a few years, and they've accomplished great goals. One guy started his own business. Another guy climbed the company upper management, but it's not about that. It's about mindset. It's about feeling good about yourself on the inside. And that's the win for me. When people start feeling good about themselves and change that internal dialogue that we have with ourselves, because so often we say some mean and nasty things to ourselves on a daily basis, things that we might not even say to an enemy, but we say to ourselves all the time. So why is that okay? It's not okay. So it's important that we realize what we're saying to ourselves. I mean, I tell people, spend a day writing down your thoughts, have a journal right by you and write it all out. And the next day, evaluate what you said. And if it's poor, if it's really poor, then we need to change it. But now you're aware of it. Now you are aware that you're saying these thoughts. So things can come in your head and you can have a counter for it. Like you could, you know, you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and go, oh man, I'm getting fat. Well, the next thing you could say is after work, you know, I'm going to have a nice walk and I'm going to picture myself after this walk feeling so good about myself that I got outside and I did a walk and now I feel good. My body feels good. And I'm visualizing that. And then and take that visualization to the end of the day when you do that walk and you know, those feelings, you manifest those feelings.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Well, thank you very much.
Can you remind everyone where to find you on the internet and connect with you?
Absolutely, yes. So the easiest way to get in touch with me is through my website, acalltoaction.coach. And I actually have a free guide on there on how you can be able to rewrite your story, how I was able to rewrite my story, and how you can maximize your day. It's free on my website, acalltoaction.coach. Pick it up there anytime. And then if you want to join my Facebook group, which is a great way to meet new people and hear stories, lift each other up, no judgment, rewrite your story. We do monthly meetings and it's all about supporting each other and getting people to where they want to go.
I will put all the links down in the description on the audio platforms and on YouTube. And so they have to do is scroll down and click if you're interested in checking out Paul. Thank you so much, Paul, for sharing your story on the podcast today. Thank you guys for watching and or listening. If you're an audio listener, the Storytime Podcast is available on YouTube in video format and also on all the audio platforms. If you're an audio listener, if you could give us a recommend or a review, sorry, they're called, that would really help us out. Thank you so much, Paul, and I shall see you in the next one. Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.